soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on October 27, 2018. When Jesus was asked about the signs of the end of the age, the second coming, and the destruction that he had prophesied, that not one stone would be upon another that would not be thrown down in regards to the temple and the buildings in Jerusalem, Jesus said this in Luke 21:34 and following, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." This is exactly what I want to relay to you, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus is saying, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, to where it made you completely unable to discern, to perceive, to be aware through your senses, the perilous times of the last days. You would never see it coming, just as the people that were destroyed by the flood at Noah's time were taken by that flood and taken away and destroyed. They never, ever saw it coming. And all these things that are coming at the end of the age, as it comes suddenly, like a thief comes in the night, if you had watched, if you had been ready and prepared, alert, you would have caught the thief. But those that are watching and praying, it will not come as a thief, because they will see the signs that Jesus outlined, many signs, evidences, tokens, fruits. Things that are happening in the earth will make it clear that his coming is near, and that even the persecution and the rejection of the truth. We are to lift up our heads and rejoice, for our redemption draws nigh. And we are to be like Noah, that vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the things he saw and heard in that land of Sodom and Gomorrah, right before God sent fire from heaven and destroyed them all. This is a very important time to draw near to the Lord, to seek his face, to hear his voice. And if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the assemblies. I've said it over and over and many times, and I will continue to say it. There's a distinction between the kingdom of God and religion or churches. When Jesus gives commands and instructions in his word and confirms those things by the Holy Spirit, gives witness to the things that he's already said, he expects us to follow what he says. The things he told us to do is to beware, to take heed, that no one deceive us. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman that wouldn't be ashamed, but would correctly, rightly divide the word of truth. The Lord sends correction, instruction, and reproof. He tells us when we're crooked, calls us to be straight, upright before him. He is the way. We're to walk in his ways and to have faith and to have our garments pure and white, washed in the blood of Jesus. Indeed, the times are upon us. Lord said to take special care. I'm very aware that there's events that go on, not only in the United States, but actually all over the world. There are events carefully calculated and performed to create a result. And this is what I believe Jesus is referring to about a snare. Men seek to trap men. Wicked men seek to trap souls for their agenda. And it's a long, long-term agenda with people of the dragon, people of the serpent, the devil, that seek to control and dominate humankind. The Lord comes to lay down his life, to give life, that we might have eternal life in peace before God. But the tyrants, they usurp God and seek to destroy, not to save. But if people would have loved him and received instruction and truth, they would never have believed the lie. They would never have had their foot taken in the snare. But as I said, there are events going on in our world today that are absolutely mirages. They're fake, phony, not real. And they're very skilled at their abilities. And like Paul would say, that we shouldn't be like children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Get the picture? The waves of sea, this doctrine, that partial truth, that half-truth, or even truth here and there. But it's got dispersed within, little lie here, little lie there. And it's called leaven, and a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Jesus said, which is hypocrisy in their doctrine. And in 1 Corinthians 5, it was the immorality of the assembly, the group of people in religion. To have your heart overwhelmed with eating and drinking and cares of this life, it completely obliterates your focus on what's really truly happening and what men are really doing. And the Proverbs says we should consider the house of the wicked. We should consider what they're doing. Be aware, be understanding. Not to be fearful, but to be believing, and a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but a fool goes on and is punished. And Jesus said, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch, be alert. Be attentive, be prayerful, be abiding in the Lord. What's happened to our cultures, and the cultures of the world, is the spirit of Babylon, that great mystery harlot of abominations and idolatry of the earth and her daughters, has given a cup of iniquity for the world to drink, and the world is drunk on the iniquity of Babylon. The perversity, the pornography, the prostitution, the whoredom, the foolishness, the pride, the vanity, this world, the commerce, the lust for these things, corrupts the mind, and the people are not even able to see. They're not worthy to escape these things, but they are worthy of the judgment. There's a reason why Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, John the Baptist, as a great example, when they would declare the message of God, they would first tell the people to repent. Repent and believe the gospel. I pointed this out to a religious leader in my city recently about how the apostles and Jesus and John the Baptist and the prophets would declare, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a reason. Listen to this text. Jeremiah chapter 4. If you will return, Israel, says the Lord, return unto me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Listen, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. This is a very important illustration, a parable, if you were. The heart becomes so hardened because the love of many grows waxes hard, the hearts of many grows hard, and the heart gets hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. And the Lord is telling us through Jeremiah to circumcise ourselves to the Lord, to remove the foreskin, to remove the hardness, and not to sow among the thorns. Break up our fallow ground, that hard ground. Get before the Lord in repentance. And this is why it's so important to repent and to put away these things so we can receive the truth and the love of the truth, and that the truth have its power in our life, and that we not be a contradiction, saying one thing, doing another. Now consider this, another man of God named Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and following, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now this is such a contrast to the silliness, the frivolity, the lightheartedness of the current church world, which is more of a social gospel, more of a pep talk to make you feel good, and not encourage you to seek the Lord and to line up and walk the walk, walk the straight and narrow way that leads to life. Jesus said to strive, which is the word agonosomai. Strive that you may enter the straight gate, because many will attempt to and not be able, and there'll be very few that actually make it. So gird up your mind. Don't fashion your lifestyle according to the way you used to be before you came to the Lord. You repented of those things. You put away those things. And the Lord has washed you, cleansed you, delivered you, and transformed you, even metamorphosizing you and changing your mind, the way you think, the way you respond. You're renewed from the inside out. Praise the Lord. Be holy, for I'm holy, says the Lord. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your traveling here in fear. For as much as you know, listen to this, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers. This is a very explicit dialogue about customs, teachings, traditions of man, the tradition of the elders, the doctrines of the Pharisees and scribes, and that the same thing has been passed on through religion. We need to make sure that we know God, and that way we know and do His will, and that way we have the doctrine that it comes from God. But we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? Seeing then you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now listen, this, I want to relay this, these next several verses. 1 Peter 1:23 and following. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is the seed that's incorruptible. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached, proclaimed, declared, heralded unto you. In James chapter 5, it talks about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. The judge is at the door. And what does it say? That we should be patient waiting for it because the Lord himself is patient. This is James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. God has patience for the fruit of the earth. God's looking for a harvest. God's looking for people to turn from wickedness unto him. God's looking for people to be delivered from Satan, to turn unto God, to turn from darkness unto light. Praise the Lord, but it's through the gospel. It's through the truth of the gospel, the word of truth. Because that is where the power of God is. And people need to hear the word of God. And people need to hear the word sown so they can be born again of God. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. There's so many things underway in our world. It's a very perilous time because men love themselves, because people have turned from the truth and turned unto fables. There's false ministries, false brethren, false churches, false prophets, false Christs. There's false gospels. It's the word pseudos. It's so imperative to seek the face of God. It's so imperative to sit before Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. It's so important to receive from him the understanding, the revelation of the Word, to let the Holy Spirit. You have no need of a man to teach you. You are not to set up a man over you as a master teacher, an overlord. You are to set the Lord as your teacher. The Lord is my teacher. And the Lord has given us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will remind us all things of Jesus and shall show them to us and give us remembrance and give us understanding and illuminate our mind, the pure Word of God. In recent days, I put a post out in Craigslist for Bible study type fellowship. Know that this would not be the institutional church world or creating a church or a schism or a sect or a cult or any of such thing, but just fellowship in the Lord for those that have called and heard the Lord calling for this. I had a young lady respond that this is exactly the type of fellowship that she was looking for. And we shared back a few emails, and then finally she asked that I call. And when I talked to her, she told me that after a couple years of being in various churches, Calvary Chapels, Vineyards, Bethel type churches, the Lord told her, these churches are not of me. They're not worshiping me. They worship a different Jesus. They worship an Antichrist. And the Lord told her to come out. And that is what the word ecclesia means. That's translated in English as church. It means called out. It's an assembly of people. According to the word of God, there's one fold, one flock, a sheep of the pasture of the Lord's hand, a house of God, which is the assembly of the Lord. It's a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, Ephesians 2, Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. But what men do is what they have done since Genesis chapter 11. And even the disobedience that went on before then, men are going to seek to make a name for themselves, to exalt their work up to be like God. And they force people into this delusion of spiritual harlotry, an abomination of the earth. But the Lord's house is none of this. And the Lord is kind, he's merciful, he's gracious, he speaks, he calls, he sends laborers into his field, he sends his ambassadors. Jesus said, I will send wise men, prophets, and scribes. And the Lord sent Barnabas and Paul into the synagogues Acts chapter 13, and the people could hear the word of the Lord. They could hear the gospel. They could hear the word of truth. They could hear the message that was being directed by Jesus himself. They could hear it or forbear, just like what happened with Ezekiel chapter 2, just like what happened with Jeremiah. Nothing is new under the sun. And I relay this young lady that was in the church system. She was in ecstatic experience things going on. And the Lord told her, this is not of me, it's demonic. And the Lord even told her, put away the music. I don't want you to do it. And she said she loved the music. She loved it. They were highly skilled performers, musicians. But she obeyed the Lord and she did indeed come out. And you know what she says? The Lord is teaching her directly. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. The Lord is teaching us directly. He will direct your steps in the Word. It's the Holy Spirit will teach you. Yes, the Lord has elders. Yes, the Lord has ministries. The Lord even has teachers. But it's the gift of Christ in the vessel that's doing the teaching. You see the difference? God's calling us to be obedient right now because a snare is being set. And there's delusions and deceptions of such great kinds that the government has been promoting, the education system has been promoting, the military has been promoting, the commerce, the businesses have been promoting, entertainment and media, and yes, the church world, the land of religion, is permeated promoting lies. They've actually bound together, Psalms 2, the kings of the earth set themselves with the rulers against the Lord and against his Christ. It's a serious, serious thing. A great, great deception because people didn't love the truth. God's going to turn them over to believe a lie. God calls people. He speaks. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. And they chose to do things that he commanded not, things that he delighted not. And therefore, the Lord will turn them over to delusion. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's a consuming fire. He's not changed. He's not silly. Let me share with you about this, what's going on and why this stage is being set for the greatest deception such as never was before. Paul says this in Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, holy ones, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Hallelujah. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. See how important the spiritual gifts are? Through a spiritual ministry, they manifest according to the will of God to accomplish in the people of God, that you may be established. And it's very, very important that we function in the gifts of the Spirit by faith. We should be desiring these things, coveting these things, seeking to excel, seeking that God is honored through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul goes on, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Again, how important is the real gospel? How important is the real seed of the gospel? This is the power of God unto salvation. This is that which will change you from death to life, if you believe it. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is our day, magnified. This is so true. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is where it gets really serious. These people changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was proper. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. These are the things that are written, ladies and gentlemen, and these are the things that are unfolding. And this is why Jesus said, take heed, beware, don't let your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Don't be about your own things that are temporary, but be rich towards God, be rich towards heaven. Delight in the eternal word of God, the bread of life. Delight in the word of the Lord. It'll instruct you, heal you, give you strength. It'll wash you, cleanse you, instruct you, inform you, deliver you. Delight in the pure word of God, which comes from the Lord. And he gives you the understanding. He gives you the perception. He gives you everything you need to stand as a light in a crooked and perverse dark world that's deceived and being deceived. And all these things will be continuing as darkness and gross darkness covers the earth. But the glory of the Lord will come upon his faithful ones, his saints, his holy ones, that hold forth his word and shine as a light in this age.